But he seeks to alienate God from humans and humans from God. That was his strategy from the beginning, right? Because he hates when we worship God. He hates when we're in relationship with him. He hates when we trust in God. He wants to be worshiped. And I don't want this all to be about him, but I just want us to, like the scripture says, don't be unwise about his craftiness and how he works. It's very simple. It's very simple. And, you know, he takes people out of the church every day. You know, he's got marks out there. It says he's like a roaring lion. He's looking for those weak ones in the congregation. And he's going to attack you in one way or another. So don't be ignorant of his devices, right? If we know what he's all about, then we can fight him better, right? We can resist him, as the scripture says. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Resist him and he'll flee from you, it says. So that means you have to take action. You have to do something, right? And the best thing to do is get on your knees. Grab your brother's hands. You know, Pastor T, we were praying. He says, I just, you know, pray, and you know, I feel God's presence holding hands here. And yeah, being united together, he can't stand that. He will not be able to rest in that presence. He has to flee because it's the love of the Spirit. And where God's Spirit is, the darkness has to flee. So just remember that. When you're going through it, remember that. Call your brother, call your sister, ask them to pray with you, right? You know, I've said it all the time, call me anytime. I usually keep my cell phone right next to me when I sleep. You want to pray, you're having a hard time, you know? If you let me know, I'll be calling you 3 o'clock in the morning. I've had a lot of those where I needed help at 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot. So he's charging that Job's godliness is evil. And it's the godliness which God takes delight in. You know, God just wants our heart. He doesn't bless us because, you know, we're so good or anything like that. He's just a giving and loving God. He wants us to have good things. You know, it says that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So you have it all. You have it all even if you have nothing in this life. You have it all. What more could you want than life itself, right? Life. Life. That's what matters, our life. It's not the possessions that we have. It's not even the body we're in. It's the spirit. It says the flesh profits nothing. The spirit is what gives life. That's where we're headed. We're headed to an eternal life with God, which is going to be amazing. Don't get caught up in this world. It's not going to last. In 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Cast it all on him, everything. Everything that's on your heart, you can give it to him. You can give it to him. And I know sometimes it seems like he doesn't hear. You know, we struggle with that. We do. But if you're waking up the next day, he's still with you, sustaining your life, right? And if you don't wake up the next day, you're going to wake up somewhere else. So he's providing for you. You know, he brought you into this world. We had no say in that. And he's taking you out. And you have no say in that either. Not much of a say. I mean, like we're learning, we participate in the process and we're learning, right? We're learning. We're learning to trust God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, just like Jesus. He's teaching us with his own life in us to respond in that way as we're learning. So it's a wonderful thing. Don't get caught up in your doubts and fears and anxieties. Don't get caught up in your sins even, because nothing can separate you from God, it says. Nothing. No created thing can separate you. So be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour. And people don't take this seriously. They don't. And you need to, because it's serious stuff, because you can be taken out quick if you're not careful. I know, I've almost been taken out many times. It's just the way life is. You can get some things in your head and you don't learn how to get on your knees and go before God with it. You're left to your own devices. You know, you got to get into the Word. You have to let that Word wash you, as it says. You have to let it reassure you and strengthen you and guide you and give you the right perspective in life. So resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. See, they're tailor-made, but we all have them. We all have them, every single one. So your brothers and sisters suffer too. You know, not everybody's that happy Facebook look that we see. You know, we wish we were like that. Right? And we are at times. I mean, you know, we do have fun, hopefully. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You're called to an eternal glory in Christ. That's our future. That's our future. It's not really here and now. It's eternal glory. It's forever. It's, you know, it's just going to keep going from here on. So that's the perspective we need. It says, to him be the power forever and ever. He holds all the power. He holds the lives of everyone in his hands. He's given those lives. He's given us the Spirit to give us all the different gifts we have. And we're to share them, right? We're to learn to use them to build up and edify one another in that love that it's talking about. And then James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. Oh, man, I try hard to do that. It's not easy. It's not, but it helps me to give me the right perspective. Because I know whatever happens, Lord, whether it's good or bad, it's in you. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. I can't do anything about it. I'm not capable of changing these things. I can only do what I think is best, and you can only do what you think is best, right? But we really can't change a person's life or their heart or their circumstance even. We can help, maybe, but we just can't make the real changes that need to be made in certain instances. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And this is what it says, you know, Job was known for his endurance and suffering. He persevered through it. He didn't abandon God. He stayed with him through it all. And the ending of the story is fascinating, you know? Because that's all God is going to do is bless you. He can't do anything else. He can't hurt you. He can't hurt you. He can only bless you because he loves you. Love doesn't hurt. Love doesn't harm. Love only heals. Love only transforms. That's all it knows how to do. That's God. That's love. So don't ever think you're a bad person and God's striking you down. That's why you got all these problems. Yeah, you might have some of them because of that, but I'm sure we have a lot of them, I should say. But he's not like that. You know, that's not who God is. He didn't put us on this earth to torture us, you know? He didn't do that. No, he's got a purpose. He said, I'm going to have holy children. That's my will. Nobody's going to stop that. Nobody can separate them from me. They're my children, he's saying. They're my children. But endurance must do its complete work. See, you may go through trials for a long time, but there's something being worked out in your life that God only knows what it is. I don't know. I can't tell you why you're going through something. But God knows. He's got the end in mind. He's the one refining us, you know, through those fires to take out the dross, they say, you know, when the gold and the silver is put in the fire to take out the impurities. Sometimes, it takes your whole life. It takes your whole life, however long you're going to be here. He's going to keep refining you. You never stop with the trials. They don't stop. They just maybe become different and new. But can we, with the right attitude, go to God and say, God, you know, this hurts. And I'm feeling it real bad, but I'm going to trust you. I love you. I know you have a plan and a purpose for me. I know you'll never let me go. I know that you are blessing me with so many things that are beyond my comprehension. I'm just going to trust in you. And you feel better. You do. When you have that right perspective, you do feel better. Instead of like, oh, man, I got to get up tomorrow. I got to face that same old situation again. Man, I don't want to do it. No, you can go with courage and strength that the Spirit provides by filling your mind with these precious words from his scriptures. It says, endurance must have its complete work so that you may be mature and complete. See, then you'll have that right perspective when you're mature and complete, and when you've been through a few big ones. you should grow from them, hopefully, right? Even though they hurt, we grow. We do grow. We don't realize we're growing, but we're growing. We're growing to rely on Him. We're growing to rely on Him. This is one of God's great aims for us during suffering. If God takes us through a season of suffering in order to help us love and trust Him more, it will always be worth it. Always. You know, if God takes everything away from you, He's doing it for an eternal glory in your life and purpose. It says in James 5, verse 11, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about in his life, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Now, Job had some friends in his life, right? He had some friends. They were called miserable comforters. Have you ever had some miserable comforters in your life? I have. And I've been a miserable comforter in my life to somebody else, I'm sure. My wife can tell you that. Right, Steph? That's all right. You could say yes. It's okay. You're speaking the truth. So as long as you speak the truth, it's fine. I confess I have been a miserable comforter to my wife and to others. But I... You know, should I say more? No. It's funny how you get up here sometimes and you start confessing things that have been festering in your life, you know, for years. It's like, oh, I got to get it out. Got to get it out now. But it says in Job 16, you know, his friends came to him and, you know, they're, you know, in all throughout history, we in the church many times have associated these things that happen to us as being God's wrath upon us. And, you know, God is punishing us. You know, Job, this is the only reason why this could be happening to you. You must be doing something wrong, Job. You must be sinning. You know, you must have these hidden sins somewhere. You know, when people are suffering, the best thing to do is just shut up and give them a hug and a kiss and say, I love you and my heart is with you. You don't have to say a whole litany of things. You don't. I mean, sometimes that's all people want to know, is that your heart is knit to them and you feel it too. You know? And I know many of you do that. You know, just a simple card sometimes is nice. You know, an encouraging scripture on the card helps us to put our focus to where it needs to be. But it said in Job 16, Job answered his friends after they gave him all this great advice about him sinning somehow. He said, I've heard many things like these. You are all miserable comforters. You know, it's just like you come alongside here to comfort me and all you do is make me feel worse. Like, what kind of people are you? Is there no end to your empty words? I mean, he's hitting them hard. They deserve it, I'm sure. This guy just lost everything. And he had no reason, he had no inkling why. He didn't know anything that was going on behind the scenes, just like we don't in our life. He said, what provokes you that you continue testifying? You know, well, just shut up already. If you were in my place, I could also talk like you. I could string words together against you and shake my head at you. Instead, I would encourage you with my mouth. And the consolation from my lips would bring relief. Man, I am so guilty. I can think of things I said to people that, you know, in their grief and trouble and all of that, that were just not appropriate, really. I mean, maybe we all can, but it's terrible. It really is. And hopefully we learn as God's people to deal with these things better. And then verse 18, Job kind of, you know, lets it out. He says, earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry for help find no resting place. Even now my witness is in heaven and my advocate is in the heights. Now, was he prophesying there? Did he know something about maybe Jesus? That the Spirit was kind of prompting him? He knew he needed an advocate. He knew he needed some type of mediator between God and man. So he's saying, even now my witness is in heaven and my advocate is in the heights. My friends scoff at me as I weep before God. I wish that someone might arbitrate between a man and God. Just as a man pleads for his friend. Jesus, where are you? And Jesus is looking at Job and saying, I'm right here. I'm right in your heart, Job. I'm going through this whole thing with you and carrying you through it and inspiring your mind to be sinless in this situation, not to curse God. Jesus was pulling him through. For only a few years will pass before I go the way of no return. So he's thinking, you know, I'm coming to the end here. I need somebody. I need somebody to stand between me and God. You know, to show me what's going on here, to help me. right? We all need Jesus in that way. We can go to him and he can teach us. He can show us things. He can help us. So, after all of this, at the end of the story, God speaks to Job and his miserable comforters. It's a funny phrase, right? Miserable comforters. And the Lord answered Job. He said, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who argues with God give an answer." Then Job answered the Lord. He said, "I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I place my hand over my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not reply twice. But now I can add nothing." So Job realized that his life, he was humbling himself before God. Right? It says, the scripture teaches that. Humble yourselves before God. He will lift you up. And that's what Job is doing. He's saying, "God, I am insignificant. I really don't know. I don't understand. You know, you are God, right? And I'm just this human being that doesn't understand." And it's okay to not to understand. We don't understand a lot of things. We don't know that God is working some of these things in our life. And then in chapter 42, it says, "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted.'" You can do all things, he's telling God. He knew that in his heart, right? Do we know that? I feel God can do all things. I believe that. But sometimes, help my belief, God, because I don't see it, and I want it now or yesterday, that your help is there for me, that you can do it. You asked, "Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?" He's trying to show Job something like, you know, "Job, I have plans here. I have something going on here for you. And you just don't know. You just don't understand. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand," Job said, "things too wonderful for me to know." So he's starting to get it. He's starting to see. He's starting to, you know, understand now that, you know, God is not against him. "You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" And then verse 5 is that key verse. He said, Job said, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Job had a new perspective on life. He was able to see something now about God through suffering in the extreme that he could not see before. And sometimes that's the way God gets our attention. And that's the way he draws us closer to him in faith. Because let's face it, if life is going too good, what need do you have of God? Think about it. You might just say, "Hey, I'm good at this life. Man, I got it all together. I'm on Facebook taking my selfies. I'm, you know, hanging with my buds and laughing." But that's, you know, you don't have it all together without him. None of us do. We need him, and he's showing us we need him. So Job said, "I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." And after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Now take 7 bulls and rams, go to my servant Job, offer a burnt offering for yourselves, then my servant Job will pray for you. So don't forget to pray for your miserable comforters." Don't forget. They need your prayers. Even though you want to chop their heads off, maybe. Pray for them. It's much more humane. I will surely accept his prayer and not deal with you as your folly deserves. For you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. You see, we paint the wrong face of God. We paint him in a light or in a negative way. Then Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad and the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamahite went and did as the Lord had told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. You see that? God doesn't take his blessings away from us. What we think may be God's hand taking things away or, you know, punishing us, he's just looking to bless you more. It's like a tree, right? Being pruned. You know, so it can grow healthier and stronger and better. God comes close to us in our suffering through the suffering humanity of Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We won't suffer alone. We all share in the sufferings of Jesus as well as every spiritual gift in the heavenlies. So I want you to just listen to a little song here at the end. Think about the words and we'll take it from there. After that, we'll have communion.